on knowing your gift and walking in your gift. Just tell your neighbor, say, I am very gifted. Because you are. Heaven forbid we downplay the gift that God has given. Amen? Amen. Heaven forbid we look at yourself in the mirror and say, my gift isn't that substantial. It's not that powerful. Mine isn't the coolest gift. I mean, it's obvious I have the coolest gift, but yours is pretty cool too, okay? Look, I don't know what you're saying when you look in the mirror, but I love the gift that God gave me. And I want to study that gift. I want to know that gift, and I want to express that gift. Tell your neighbor, ask your neighbor a question. Say, are you expressing yours with all of your heart? Now, did they look down? Because if they look down, you know they ain't expressing it all with all their heart, all right? And if they wouldn't even look at you, you know there's issues, okay? And we'll pray for them at the end of the service. But the issue is, are you expressing the gift that God has given? It's beautiful. It's magnificent. It's powerful. Your gift changes people's lives. And we've got to know what that is and walk in it. Amen? You know, when we express our gifts, like I told you, I was... Uh-oh. That's okay. Sounds like the rest of them when they come in for counseling. You know, I told you that I joined the American Legion. And so they had their Christmas party. Oh, where'd Lisa go? Did she leave? She go downstairs with the kids to help out? We'll give her this. Because at the American Legion Hall, I was talking to a couple I'd never met before. I didn't know any of them. It was the first meeting. And so I asked them. I just ask questions when I go there. And I let them, you know, everybody likes to talk about themselves, don't you? I mean, don't they? So I just went and I sat at a table with people I'd never seen in my life before. And I started asking about who they were, what they do, and all of that stuff. And they enjoyed the conversation. And I enjoyed listening to them. And then they asked what I do. And then I was able to share. And they said, you know, something about food. And I said, well, yeah, we have a food pantry. He gave out 56,000 meals last year. And he just pulls out his wallet. And he said, here's 20 bucks. His wife pulls out her wallet and said, here's 20 bucks for your food pantry. Can I just tell you, when you give God glory and honor, it touches people's hearts. I've never seen these people before. All I did was tell them about one thing, the goodness of God. And the goodness of God causes people to respond. Okay? The misery that you have walked through yesteryear doesn't cause people to rejoice. All right? Haven't you told that story enough? I know I have. We've told that story enough. Now it's time to talk about the goodness of God or the good things that God has done. And can I tell you, I am looking forward to leading every one of those old birds to Christ. Who? Listen, I don't want to have another meeting here. Let's find out where they're having a meeting and go get and be part of that. Right? Listen, if you were in the military and you weren't in a war, well then let's go. Rob, I already told you, go get your application, okay? All right, get it done and just join. Don't think about it or pray about it, just join. All right. Tom Mallow, he's going to join the VFW because he was a real military guy. He was in the Army and he was in a war. He was in Desert Storm, so he gets to be part of the VFW. The VFW is Veterans of Foreign War. The Veterans of Foreign Wars and American Legion are for the guys that didn't. There wasn't a war on when we were in. We were supporting Grenada and we had a skirmish down there, but nothing big. And so, you know, because there's, I mean, here's my thoughts is let's go get all these guys saved at the VFW too. Because they're getting less and less of them that will come out. Less and less of them that are standing. And so, you know, I just believe that let's go find where there's a group getting together and let's invade that group and just go serve them. Amen. And I'm expecting a whole lot of fruit from them. The couple I sat with, they both know Jesus Christ and they go to the Reformed Church with Pastor Rudy, who has preached here before. And I was like, oh man, I would have to sit with Christians. I wanted to find heathens. I didn't want Christians, you know? I wanted people that didn't know Jesus Christ, and I wanted to sit and share with them, but God will open up that door, I'm sure, soon enough. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we were talking to Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. We talked about how Jesus and the disciples rode all the way across the Sea of Galilee to meet the demoniac, right, the man of Gadarenes. And Jesus came up to him, and what did the man do? He came and he bowed at Jesus' feet. We said that we know that the devil knows his place. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, the devil knows his place. Right. See, the issue is not the devil knowing his place. The issue is, do you know yours?
That's right. Amen.
No doubt.
Yes.
When the presence of God hit the shore, that demon came running and said, oh, son of God. He knew who he was. See, when we know who we are, the same thing happens. See, darkness doesn't overtake, but darkness has to bow its knee. Darkness has to surrender to the power of God. God's victorious in every situation. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand my problem. Whatever that may be. Maybe it's psychological, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's a past, you know, adultery, fornication, maybe it's gambling, maybe it's stealing, maybe it's murder. I don't know what you were involved in before, but every single one of them come and they bow at the knee of Jesus Christ. Amen? They have to bow. They don't sin. Tell your neighbors, hey, sin does not have authority over you anymore. This is a key. It does not have authority. Did Jesus deal with it once and for all?
Yes.
Right. He dealt with it once and for all. He said the blood was enough. Done. Man has said, yeah, but. God said, no. He just said, I say, I will. His were very definitive. His were all-consuming, all-encompassing. And when we stand on his word, everything starts to change. Right? Man tried to subdue the demons with chains, and it didn't work, right? We said that. Jesus subdued him with the love from the Father and destroyed the darkness and caused it to flee. And then Jesus said, he asked if he could go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, I want you to do one thing. Go and tell everybody about the goodness of God. All the good things that I have done. That's all he asked him to do. Right? The first evangelist in the Word of God. First one ever. No training. Sitting with Jesus just for a moment. Jesus said, don't come with me. Go and tell everybody the good things I have done. How about from now until Christmas and prayerfully for the rest of our lives, all we talk about are the things, the good things that God has done. All right? I'm going to try that one more time. How about we just say, talk about all the good things that God has done.
Yes.
Amen? All right. So when we get together, let's challenge each other on that. Why? Because we're the ones that speak life and truth. Amen? Right? Because when life and truth are spoken, darkness is defeated. It goes. Freedom comes into the hearts that God places in our lives. It's very simple, but when we talk about all the bad things that are happening in my life, good golly, the church has been full of that for years. It has been. Isn't it easy to complain? Tell your neighbor, say, you're good at it. We all have been, haven't we? He just told them, go home and to report about what the good things the Lord has done for you. And he's just like us, right? He had a name change from demoniac to son of God, right? So your demonic days are over and you've got a new name. I don't care what anybody has told you before. I don't care where you have been. I don't care what house you were raised in. If you came into the kingdom of God and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, at that moment, all things became new. So your name changed, just like his. He went from demoniac or lunatic or possessed, whatever you want to call him, to evangelist in a moment. Going and preparing an entire city for when the disciples came back. And here's how Here's how definitive Jesus is and how intentional he is that he couldn't do anything there. They asked him to leave the country or the city. Jesus gets in a boat and he rows back across, him and the boys. He rowed across for one man, very intentional. It's the only one he was interested in. He knew what was going to happen. He rowed across, one man's life was changed, who changed an entire city. Yes. He walked for days to get to Samaria. One woman's life was changed. She changed the whole city. If you're trying to find everybody and get big groups together in masses, you're not doing it the way that Jesus did it. They'll come, but you're going to have to find one. You know what? It doesn't say that Jesus went back to that place, but it does say that the disciples eventually came back and preached. And guess what? They were ready. They were ready because the demoniac told them about all the good things that Jesus Christ has done. Isn't that amazing? Someone who knows nothing, you know so much more than he did. He knew the delivering power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So do you, right? You've been sitting under the word of God. You know the word of God. You can read the word of God. It wasn't written at that time, and he didn't have an opportunity to study it at all. But all he did was talk about the good things of God and prepared an entire area for when the word did come. Salvation came. Salvation came. I bet you he doesn't get the credit in that city for what he did, but I bet you he does in eternity. Are we looking for credit for anything? Are we looking for our names to be named and proclaimed? This is about glorifying our God, amen? So I want to encourage you to be intentional with your time and your efforts and be praying for that one that God's been putting his finger on and spend time. You might have to row across the Hudson River. By the time we get done preaching the first of the year, you might be able to walk across the Hudson River. All right, that's where we're heading. See, but it seems to be that so much that you hear in the everywhere is, oh, come all you faithless, joyless, and defeated. They've tried to change the song. Because when it comes to our government, everywhere you look, whether it's in the fiscal world or whether it has to do with the planet or has to do with character and everything else, everything that they preach is hopeless. One word that you'll see on the news all day long is hopeless. Everything that they bring up, oh, it's hopeless. Oh, we've got to print more money because it's hopeless. The only hopeless thing is that these guys would have any wisdom without Jesus Christ. That's what they preach. That's what they say every single day. There was one church. I forget the interview, but there was one church and they had a couple different campuses. And because of the mask and the mandate on the vaccine, four people committed suicide in the church because they felt hopelessness. Ask your neighbor, say, are you hopeless? There better be none in here because this is a house of hope. Amen. Amen. This is where hope lives. Inside of each and every one of us, according to the word of God. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Colossians 1, verses 24 to 28. Colossians 1, 24, 28. It says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church. Do you do your share on behalf of the body? Or do we only do our share? I'll look at the television to make sure that nobody gets condemned or convicted. Well, convicted, yes, but not condemned. Do you do your share on behalf of his body? Which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, so do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then if you are Christ, that's Christ in you he's talking about, and he is the hope of glory, right? Now we know that faith is now and hope is future, right? So we know that everybody believe Jesus Christ is coming back? Right, so we believe he's coming back a second time and he's gathering us up and he's taking us with him one day. What day that is, I don't know. But I know it's closer than I first believed. Amen. And I've said that if life's a football game, then I believe we're about the 2 minute mark. Because, you know, there's a whole lot of junk that goes on the first three quarters or three and a half quarters of a football game. There's plays all over the place. But when it comes down to that last 2 minutes, you know what happens? Every second on the clock counts. Every play that they pick in that 2 minutes has purpose. Every block, every receiver, every snap, where the routes are run, get the guy to the sidelines, get him out of bounds, and stop the clock quickly. I don't know how long that last 2 minutes is going to last, but I believe, I really believe with all of my heart, that we're heading into the 2 minute warning. Never seen the world gather together, all the leaders, and say we're going to control everything now. It's never happened before. Sweden are taking a chip in the back of their hand so that they can have their vaccine passport at their beck and call everywhere they walk. Sounds familiar. When the enemy is setting up to bring division, make no mistake, everything that's going on is trying to divide the church and shut down the word of God. That's what they're trying to do. Tell your neighbor, say, not me. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to bring division in the house of God. But not here, because of the Christ in you. Amen? Amen. Because he's our hope and the hope of glory. Christ in you, for no man could rationally hope for glory who had not the pardon of his sins. Your sins have been pardoned. Your nature has been sanctified. No one could have been pardoned but through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. None could have been or had glorification but through the indwelling, sanctifying Spirit of God. And so, as our lives are changed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that hope starts to rise up. And when we grab a hold of that hope, what we're saying is we're putting our stake in eternity and we're hanging on to it, because our hope is about eternity. Amen? We know that he's bringing us home. We're here, but we're not from here. We're only here for a season. And the same thing that Paul was doing, he said, I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church. So while we're here, we're building the body. You are a builder, and that's why you're here. When hope is in the resurrection, it has the that stake driven where it can't be moved. When you know that your salvation is complete and it is secure, that's a question that you have to ask. Is your salvation complete and is it secure? Because you know what? If people aren't sure about their salvation, they're not going to serve the body of Christ. It's that simple. Because they're going to think that they don't have enough, they're not enough, they're not good enough, they've made too many mistakes, and they're not going to. But when your hope is secure and you've anchored your belief and your strength in eternity, then everything that we're looking through the eyes, thy kingdom come on earth, right? So I'm walking in the kingdom of God now all the way to the kingdom of God. There's no hanging out here doing whatever I want until I go home. I'm walking in the kingdom, so I'm thinking kingdom, I'm speaking kingdom, I'm acting kingdom, I'm giving kingdom. Everything has to be about the kingdom, because that's where I've attached or I've sunk my stake in the ground and I've tied everything off to. See, when your salvation is sure, then the cares of this world start to die off. And that's a question, which I'll look at the television again. Have the cares of this world been guiding, controlling, manipulating men and women of God in this house, or have we been set free from it? You know, in Proverbs 4:23, which we all know, and it says, above all else, what? Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You got to guard your heart above everything else. And he said the riches of his glory. And the meaning here is that the truth, that the gospel was to be preached to all mankind. And it was a truth abounding in glory. Abounding in glory. One truth in the glory. And no one or nothing else can change that. One truth. Romans 8:24 and 25, it says, for in hope we have been saved. In hope we have been saved. In hope we have been saved. We are not hopeless. We are the hope of the whole world, right? It goes on to say, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. So in order to wait for the fulfillment, we're going to have to persevere. We're going to have to walk through some stuff. Some people get all scared and nervous because of what's going on, because of a virus. And it's amazing how man creates a virus and God protects our body. I went and got my antibodies tested last week, and Kim informed me that I have 93 of them. Now, I don't, my wife's got 287. Kia's got 1,148 or 1,248. Ooh, Kia's got more. You need 0.8 to be protected. 0.8. Yeah. So I've got 93. If you need a blood transfusion, see Kia. She's overloaded. Meaning that the body is able to fight off even the things that man has created. Amen? This is we got one shot at life. And I want to live my life in the freedom that Jesus Christ has given us, because I want to bring hope into a lost and dying world. Romans 15, 13, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. You need to abound. It means hope. Hope needs to be the focus of everything. You have your stake, you know, locked down in eternity. There's no doubt about your eternity. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. We have to settle that in our hearts and our minds, that blood was enough, the cross was enough, it's already been dealt with, I'm free indeed, and now I'm anchored into eternity. From here, I live out the life of those that live in eternity. I live the way that Christ lived. I speak the way that Christ spoke, and we do the things that Christ did. Tell your neighbor, say, I can do those things. See, but it's going to have to bring some changes in each one of our minds and our thinking. One of the things you don't want to do, don't lose your hope. You can lose your keys. You can lose your house. You can lose your bank account. You can lose your dog or your cat. You might even lose a spouse, but don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope. We are. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Therefore, we're the ones that are bringing hope. We don't speak hopelessness. We don't speak doubt. We don't speak, oh, it's over. Oh, it's too big. Oh, we don't speak like that. We speak according to the word of God, that he's able. There's one that's able to save your crazy family. And you're getting ready to meet them all and have dinner. God can save them all. He saved you. You hold on to your hope, it'll rise again. And it's a decision that we have to make. And we're the hope of the world. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hebrews 6, 9 to 12, it says, but beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation. Though we are speaking in this way, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you, how many? Each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience have past tense, right? Have inherited the promises through patience. Faith and patience have inherited the promises. The promises are yours. Tell your neighbor they're mine. Right? Every promise is yours. It's already been sealed and taken care of and given. And it's, don't be sluggish in what God has called you to do. We talked about the gift. Pastor Jeff talked about that last week. Your gift, don't be sluggish in utilizing your gift. Don't be holding back on your gift. It's a gift the Father has given. You don't want the kids taking the gifts that you give in a couple of weeks or a couple of whatever it is. I don't know how long it is, but whenever it is, you don't want them saying, I don't want to open that, just throw it in the closet. How would that make you feel? You gave them two gifts. And they said, no, I don't feel like opening them. Just put them in the closet. We'll just leave them there. You're like, why would you do that? Because I don't want to bother with them. I don't care. It's not that big a deal. It would break our hearts. Because we think we've worked very hard. We thought very hard. Somebody else wrapped it because it wasn't me. And then you don't want to even open it? You can't be bothered? God's desire is that gift would be unwrapped inside of you. Because he knows that the gift that you have is going to change other people's lives. So let's not be sluggish in utilizing the gift that God has given us. And we are those that walk in the hope of glory. He is the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. He is, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So everywhere that you walk, you're going to bring life. Everywhere that you walk, you're going to speak of the goodness of God. Everywhere that we walk, we're going to proclaim his majesty in every situation. And everybody that comes to you, no matter how horrible, tell your neighbor, say, I don't care about your past. Can we get past the past?
Yes, please.
Can the rest of us get past the past?
Yes.
Three or four people said yes. Some people are hanging on to it. Some people are hanging on to it and dragging it along like a stinking anchor and saying, oh no, that's part of who I am. No, it's not. That anchor has been cut away and you've been able to drift freely according to the wind of the Spirit where God is going to take you. And he wants to take you to some extreme, extraordinary, incredible places to change people's lives. That's what God wants to do. Let go of the anchor, cut it away, let go of yesterday. It's not who you are, amen? So if you have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, stand up, because I'm over time. And I want you to grab the person's hand next to you, and we're gonna pray. Come on, close up the aisles too, guys. Come on, close up the aisles. Here in the main sanctuary, you guys are over there, you're all one line. Come on, grab somebody's hand. Right? Why? Because we're the body of Christ. It's okay. We got hand sanitizer for you, those of you that are nervous after the service, all right? This is what the body looks like. This is what the family of God looks like. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, we're here. Miss Pat's healed. Grandma Flo's healed. Joanne's healed. It's a good day in the house of God, isn't it? Someone would say, yeah, but I don't know, Pastor. But I'm not sure if the word of God is that powerful. For those of you, she said, oh, yes, it is, honey. And I agree. I agree with Grandma Flo. And that's the attitude. That's what it's got to be. That's what the attitude has to be. When the enemy says, you're not good enough. Oh, yes, I am, honey. You don't have to call the enemy honey, but you can call him whatever you want, all right? But I want you to know, well, this is what freedom looks like. This is what it sounds like. And this is how we get to enjoy our lives, walking in the hope of glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, as we have joined our hands together, Lord, it doesn't matter where we've come from. We've been grafted in. We've been grafted into the vine of hope, the vine of power, the vine of grace, the vine of mercy, the vine of authority, the vine of eternity. And Lord, we're so thankful that as we've been grafted in and we grab the hold of the hand next to us, Lord, I pray that there would be an impartation from the one that we're holding hands with. Lord, fill each one now in the name of Jesus. Fill each one with hope. Lord, that they would realize they're taking their stake and driving it into eternity, and everything they have is resting on the word of God, knowing in the one in whom they have believed. There'd be no doubt in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ or in those stripes that he bore, and there would be no doubt in the power of the resurrection. Lord, that we know it has been finished, accomplished. Your plan was perfect. It was flawless. And now we get to walk in the victory that you gave us. You imputed to us through the blood of your Son. And Lord, we thank you for right now filling each one, Lord, with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill each one in the name of Jesus. Right now, the greatest gift, our salvation, and the Spirit of the living God. Father, what more do we have need of? For you have the words of life. Thank you, Father. We pray a blessing upon each one here. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Cutting away the anchor now of yesterday. And our day today is a day of victory. Tomorrow, oh Lord, we're looking forward to that too. That when we open our eyes and mercy fills the room and the plan that you have to say, go forth and accomplish all that I have sent you to do, that we would simply do that. Lord, even this afternoon, wherever we go, whether we eat or wherever, whatever happens, whoever comes into our lives, let it be the words of life, the words of truth, the words of faith, and let hope fill their hearts by the time they leave our presence. Thank you, Father, for the victory that we have this morning in Christ. We're in him. He's in us. Therefore, all things are new, and we are mighty with the authority that have been imputed to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for a joyous day, a joyous Christmas, a joyous life, Father, that we can walk even in the midst of the suffering. Paul said, these things are nothing. The sufferings are nothing compared to what's coming, to the treasure that's laid up. Oh, I count them as nothing compared to the work that's been done in me and the plan that the Father has. Lord, let it be the same with us. When things don't go right, let us look at, oh, this is nothing compared to what God has stored up for me. Thank you for strengthening your body this morning, Lord, in faith, in your word, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Amen.